Before I begin the message on, this is our sixth message on marriage, family, and marketplace. And today we'll be talking about the roles of husbands. Before I do that, I don't know how many of you had a chance to read Book of Jonah in the last couple of weeks. How many of you read through Book of Jonah in the last couple of weeks? Can I see your hands if you have? Okay, great. You should, okay? And it's a wonderful book. And in case you do not know what the book is about, it's about your life of obedience. Are you obeying the Lord? Because if you are not obeying the Lord, that story will speak to you. Okay, it really will speak to you. And this is an amazing book that really shaped my life. In 1987, I went to Urbana Conference, which is a missions conference in Urbana, Illinois. And imagine 20,000 Christian college students. Okay, 20,000. You guys don't look excited. You should be excited about that. 20,000 mission-minded Christians gathered together in Urbana Coliseum. And retreat was from 28th through 31st of December. Picture that, 1987, last 5 days, we were gathered together, 20,000 people, we're talking about the world mission. And this is what they want to live for. All these Christians who are fired up for the Lord from United States and Canada. And I was there, and listening to this exposition of Book of Jonah during the lunchtime, during the daytime, for 4 days. Jonah is made up of four chapters, and it speaks about the missionary heart of God. And I was listening, and basically, for those of you who do not know the story, Jonah disobeyed. And he just go down, 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 and in his life, ended up in the belly of the fish. And Lord provides mercy and give him the second opportunity. And he goes to Nineveh and preach the gospel. And then there is a world-sized revival happening. That's the story. And coming back from that conference, January 1st of 1988, the year that I got married, and I always work on my New Year's resolution, and my New Year's resolution was, Lord, I want to live for you. Would you provide me with a wife? Okay? That was the order that I asked for a wife in my life. Lord, I want to live for you. Coming back from Urbana Conference, and I want to live the life of obedience, and would you provide me with a wife? January 1st, 1988, and guess what happened? Guess whom I met? My wife, actually. And we got married in July 23rd of 1988, that year. And it's been 34 years. And you know what? That just kind of clicked this week for me. I knew I was impacted by Book of Jonah. And I knew I had a book, resolution about my marriage in 1988. And they just came back to back. Just came back from the conference, and I asked the Lord, Lord, can I want to live for you. Could you provide me with a wife? And I want to serve you. And that's what happened. And the reason I share and give this introduction is, marriage is about for His glory. It's not just to improve your marriage just a little bit. Your bad habits and bad, you know, temperaments, somehow you make it a little bit better. That's not what it is. They just really come together. And so I'm kind of like advertising Book of Jonah as well as like intro to today's message at the same time. We're doing sixth message, and I pray that something is being stirred in your hearts, that you want to see God shining through your life and your marriage. If there is anybody like that, could you say amen? Could you say a confident, a decisive amen? Amen? Amen. Seriously, people. That's what I want to do. That's what I pray for in 1988, January 1st, as a young man, 25-year-old. And I was married when I was 25 years old. Okay? Hope you want to get married for right purpose. Right? So last time, we looked at the directives to the wives. And we took 2 weeks break, so I don't know what was going through your mind. And that's to the Christian wives. And I emphasize this because none of these things that we're talking about would make any sense if you're not in Christ. So my prayer is that if you're in Christ, you would want to be obedient. If you're not in Christ, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, you would want to come to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it's to the Christian wives who wants to live a life of sharing hope to the world. Is that what you want to do? I hope you do, okay? And by your obedience. And to remind you once again that Ephesians, and that's today's text, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through verse 30, and we will talk about 31 and 32 next week for the purpose of marriage. And it is made up of 9 verses. And I've told you last time, 3 verses is allotted to the roles of wives, and 6 verses to the roles of husband. Do you think God is trying to make send a message to us? I think so. So husbands, I want you to listen. And as an introduction, Ephesians is the quintessential writing of Paul, of Pauline epistles in the New Testament. It's like the epitome of his literary style and the content of the gospel, made up of 6 chapters. First 3 chapters has to do with theology and the gospel. And last 3 chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6, which is the chapter that we are talking about today, has to do with directive or life of a Christian. Okay? And the theme of this great book is Christ and the church. I don't know whether your heart beats faster when you hear those words, Christ and the church. I do, actually. Christ and the church. Those two words are the most significant words in the New Testament, if not the whole Bible. And the interesting thing and the significant thing is the relationship between Christ and the church is portrayed, and get this, or equated, equivalent to, using the adverb hos, just as husband and wife. Did you catch that? The power of this message is that there is that relationship between husband and wife is equated to church and Christ. That's the power. That's the force. Not only here in Ephesians, but throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament and the entire scripture. So here in the fourth and fifth chapter, the second half of the book of Ephesians, we are talking about life of a Christian. Christian wife and Christian husbands. If you're a Christian husband, this is your calling. If you're a Christian wife, this is your calling. Otherwise, it just doesn't apply to you. Nor you want to live this kind of life. Okay? So Paul is writing the directives how Christians who are saved by this magnificent grace to live as a children of light, to live a life that pleases the Lord, not as a fool, but to live to the will of God, and you want to live the life of obedience. Would you look at me? And some of you look a little tired, some of you look wide awake. How many of you want to live an obedient life to the Lord? Seriously, I want to live an obedient life to the Lord. Would you say amen? I don't know about you. That's the goal of my life. I want to live an obedient life. And this is what that life is about. Okay? The life that is obedient to the Lord, will of God, pleases the Lord, not get drunk on wine or norms of this world or the culture or the ideologies, but to the will of God. So today, I hope you want to hear the will of God, because this is the word of God toward Christian husbands. Okay? Otherwise, if you want to just take it as a, you know, some sort of like to improve your character or something, it's just not going to make any sense to you. Okay? This is the will of God. And the entry or the hinge of this section that we're going to be looking at, Ephesians 5, 22 through 32, that grace section on marriage, and the entry passage is this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another. Husband to submit to wife, and wife to submit to husband. Fathers to submit to their children, and the children to submit to their fathers. Master to submit to their employees, and employees to submit to their masters. It's the mutual, reflexive, reciprocal submission out of fear for Christ. Do you fear Christ? This message applies, and it's possible when you fear the Lord, when you have reverence toward Christ. Okay? So, let's have a brief review of the roles of the wives from 2 weeks ago. I summarized with two key points, two words. One is submission, and the other is helper. Okay, one is submission, and the other is helper. And this is a question to women, okay, Christian women. How many of you appreciate these two words, submission and helper? Can I just ask you? I'm asking Christian women, men don't answer. If you appreciate these two words, honestly appreciate this word, can I hear you say amen? That was a little delayed. Amen. It was a little bit like syncopated delayed. It's, you know, submission and helper is such central Christian words. We've been talking about this. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And the word submit is not there in the original text. So the directive is, if you're Christian wives, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. How do you like that, right? Why? Because husband is the head. What's the word? Kephale, which means authority, leader, and the head of the wife. Okay? Because husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And again, the power and the force of this great truth is that equivalence. Even as, just as, hosts, they are equated. In other words, headship of husband is equivalent to headship of Christ over church. Do you understand that? And it's not a matter of whether you like it or not. That's God's design. That's God's wisdom. And that's God's plan. That's just the way he planned it. I'm just giving you a little bit of review. And the second key word or second key role for Christian wives is being a helper. Okay? Not a cultural meaning of a helper, of sense of feeling inferior, less than the norm kind of stuff. But in the scripture, the word helper, Ezer or Ezra, often referred to God and the Holy Spirit. Okay? We talked about this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time. You could be a comforter, advocate, counselor, like to your own husband. Supporting, right? Like building him up. kind of wise woman, right? So that kind of sums up the role of Christian wives, and I want to move on to the roles of Christian husband finally, and transitioning into the roles of husband in this Ephesians passage chapter 5, I would like to begin with the truth that husband and wife are equal in nature, equal in being, okay? And I want to just pause for a second. Male and female are equal in nature, equal in being, just as, another equivalence, the each person of Trinity, our triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are equal in nature and being ontologically. Okay? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's our God. Three persons, one God. Equal in being, equal in nature. Okay, that's Christian theology, and that's what the scripture teaches, and that's something that I don't think people would argue. Okay? So the power is, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal in nature, just as husband and wife and male and female are equal in being. If you catch this, can you smile and say amen? Can I see some smile? Yeah. Please. Yeah. Relax and smile. Right? Equal in being. Husband is not superior than wives. And wives don't have to fight for superiority. And that's, you know, we talked about that. That's a sinful nature, sinful desire. Okay? But the amazing thing is, at the same time, in within the Trinity, there is that equality, there is that authority and submission relationship at the same time exists. In other words, there is equality and, get this, hierarchy within Trinity at the same time. And they are not in contradiction. And this has been, you know, articulated by a scholar named F.F. Bruce, someone very, very renowned for New Testament scholar. There is that equality and hierarchy, authority and submission, it's equal in nature, at the same time within Trinity, and that exists within the marriage as well. It's a deep, profound theological truth. Genesis 1:27 says, both male and female are created in the image of God. Okay? God is not a male. A lot of people say, God is he. No, he's not a male. He is spirit. Both male and female were created in the image of God. In other words, you see God in female just as you see God in male. Okay? So equal in nature, created in the image of God, imago Deo, with equal nature and being, yet God, according to himself, his, you know, wisdom and plan, husband and wife has the authority and submission structure at the same time. We call that ontological equality, and there is that economic side of God. So within the economy of God, there is that hierarchy of authority, leadership, and submission, and you follow. I'm just laying down the foundation, scriptural foundation to all of you, because we don't think like that. We don't hear this from the world. Do you hear this from the world? Absolutely not. We're fighting for the superiority already. We're fighting for the top of our preeminence. Woman's right, man's power, right? Equal in being and in nature. At the same time, there is economy of authority and submission, and that's God's design. This is well summarized in one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Listen carefully. This will sum up everything. This is the word of God. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. That's the word of the Lord. I think this sums up everything, right? Let me just read that one more time to clarify it in your head. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. I don't think you would have any problem with that. Jesus is the Lord of all, right? At the same time, the head of wife is her husband. Some of you may have a problem, but that's the truth, okay? That is the economy. That is the design. That is the order that God has placed, just as a head of Christ is God. Do you hear the hierarchy within Trinity? Okay? I think that sums up the relationships. Now again, I stress that this is God's wisdom and design and truth. And I think this is for those who are redeemed in Christ. And you receive this with gratitude and with thanksgiving. Okay? So let's begin. Verse 25 through verse 30. Six verses and four phrases I'm going to explain. And here is the first verse for the roles of Christian husbands. Verse 25 says, husbands, get this, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let me repeat that one more time. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's a profound statement. There is that equivalence, equating. Husband, love your wives as kathos, Christ loved the church. Okay? That's it. That's the role of a Christian husband. We talked about wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. We thought that was, wow, that's provocative. That is so hard. That is so countercultural. But listen to this. Husbands, love your wives as equivalent to kathos, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay? So the first directive, or the key word for the role of a Christian husband, is to love your wives. Agapao. Okay? Agapao. Okay? As Christ loved the church. So if you notice, the focus is on what? How Christ loved the church. That's Christianity and the gospel. And pause for a second here. Pause for a moment. When Bible says love as Christ loved the church, that is not saying to be nice to your wife. Just be nice. It's not. It's saying much more than that, isn't it? It is not saying love your wife as the world or the Hollywood loves. That puppy love. Conditional love. Right? It's not that. It's not that. So forget those, please. Don't think about those things. When the Bible, the Word of God, is speaking to his people, his redeemed, this is for the redeemed people, saved by grace, love your wives, husbands, as Christ loved you and loved the church. Okay? It is saying love, agapao your wives, as Christ loved the church, and that's God's eternal love, sacrificial love, purifying love, and caring love, and unbreakable love. That's God's love. And we Christian husbands are called to love our wives with that love. Okay? So we'll be looking at this call or the directive for Christian husbands with four phrases, okay? Love your wives with four phrases from the text, which describes how Christ loved the church. I think the focus is not about Hollywood love. Don't think about that, please. All these fictional love, all these like stuff that you have collected from the world, please don't. Let's come to the scripture. Let's come to the gospel. Let's think about how Christ loved his bride, the church. Four phrases, which is written right here. The first phrase is in verse 25. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up for her. Okay? So, we talked about giving last week. Giving is about loving. That's just the way it is in Christianity. Right? If you love, you would want to give. You love someone, what do you want to, how much do you want to give? Let's say your parents, you love your parents, how much do you want to give? As much as I want to give as much as possible after make my life possibly get going. Can I just ask you, how much do you want to give to your own children? Most of you don't have children, but if you have children, how much would you want to give? You would want to give everything that he or she needs. Love has to do with giving. Giving has to do with loving. So the first love, Christ's love, and the kind of love that husbands are to love their wife is sacrificial love of giving himself. Okay? And here's a question for you to think about. When did Jesus's love and giving himself begin? For the church? When did Jesus' giving himself begin? Certainly, it was at the cross. Ultimately, he gave his life. He certainly did that. But however, his giving up of himself began way before that. Way before that, people. Jesus gave himself up in Philippians chapter 2:5, emptied himself to be a man. Even way before he went to the cross, he became a man. In order for him to do that, he had to give himself up so that he may come and redeem his bride and the church. So he gives up his prerogatives, okay, to become a man. And that is not to say he gave up his second person of deity of God, but he gave up his prerogatives. He humbled himself. And husbands, that's how you need to love your wife. If you want to love your wife, you're going to have to humble yourself. Do you catch it? All right? Put on a human likeness and form of a servant. Philippians 2:5. And that's the key word in the headship. Kephale. Of husbands, servant leadership, servant headship. That's the key thing about Christian authority, husband's authority and headship. So it's kind of like twisted, isn't it? Almost like feeling twisted. It's the leadership, but it's the servanthood. That's just the way he is. And we are called, husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Christian husbands and headship and authority is a delegated leadership. Okay? It's the delegated leadership, deputy leadership, if you will. So with the nature of a servanthood. So if you don't have that kind of heart, you will not gonna love your wife as Christ loved the church. Okay? That's just the way it is. Christian men, think about it. If your heart is not humble before the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are not going to serve your wife. Okay? It's just not going to work. All right? So the implication would be, if you could listen to this, you do not, as a Christian husband, demand or take authority and leadership, but to receive it. You do not demand it. Woman, you need to give my leadership. You do not do that. You do not demand or take it, but you receive it. You receive it from your wife as you give yourself up for her. role of husband. Okay? How is everyone doing? Christian husbands and husbands-to-be, are you okay with these kind of teaching? If you're okay, can you say amen? Very reluctant amen. Are you okay with this? I think this is wonderful teaching. If you are not humbled, tendered by the grace of God, you will never love your wife. You would want to be nice to her so that she'll be nice to you. So in other words, your niceness to your wife is for yourself. But that's not what this is teaching. This is so that Christ, as Christ loved the church. Can we think about this whole nature of love of Jesus and him giving himself up? Everything is sheer grace. Do you understand the word grace? Grace is something that you do not deserve. Okay? If you deserve it, that's based on your performances and work. You know, I explained this before. If you work full day for a company, and company gives you let's say, couple hundred dollars or $300 for the day's wage, is that grace? Or is that just something you deserve? Absolutely something you deserve. So there's nothing grace about it. Grace means, by nature, you do not deserve it. And love of God, love of Christ, is sheer grace for two reasons. Because, number one, it started before you existed. Okay? It started before you existed. Now, listen to me. Stay with me because this is important in Christian love. It started before you existed. In fact, anything existed. It was before the foundation of the world. Therefore, Christian husband's love toward his wife is not because of her, but because of who you are in Christ. Did you catch that? If you caught that, could you say amen? It's not because of her. It's not contingent upon her behavior and her attitude, but because of who you are and the grace that you have in Christ in your life. And opposite was true for women too, right? What happens if your husband don't deserve the kind of honor that you want to give to him? And we read in 1 Peter, you live and you respect him so that through your life that he may come to Christ. So here teaching is, because of it is sheer grace, Christian husband's love for his wife is not because of her, her attitude, her behavior, but because you are redeemed by the sheer grace of God. Irrespective of your wife's attitude and submission. And wives are saying, yeah. Yeah. No, I hope you don't receive it like that. In other words, you love your wife not because of her, but primarily because who you are in Christ. I think this is amazing. Amazing gospel truth. Second reason why the love of Christ is sheer grace is because Christ loved his bride and he loved us while we were yet sinners. That's the Christian gospel, isn't it? Did Christ love you when you are deserving? When you are seeking? The Bible says in Romans 5:8, Christ loved us while we were yet sinners, rebels, disobedient, and enemies. Can you imagine your wife being sinner, rebel, disobedient, enemy, and you love her? Can I just share my own thought? Who has the easier job, husband or wives? Who has the harder job? Oh, we would argue. All the wives would say, of course we do, right? Well, the husband say, no, it's us. And I really thought about this. I'm not saying wives' role is easy or easier, but this truth, it's Christ who first loved us. Husbands, are you listening? It's Christ who first loved us while we were yet sinners, when we were completely lost. In Christian family, that is the role of us Christian husbands. You first love her. And can I hear husbands say amen? Okay. I hope you get this. Otherwise, you're not going to have a good Christian marriage. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay? It is sheer grace, because when you were sinners and rebels and disobedient enemies, that's when he loved us, and he has demonstrated his love toward us. And we totally didn't deserve it. Second phrase of how Christ loved the church is in verse 26, that he might sanctify her. Now, listen carefully, because I don't want you to get lost here. Because they sound same, but it is not. You know what your role is as a Christian husband for your wife? You lead your wife in Christ's ways and to Christ, so that she will be sanctified through your life. And I really take this role seriously. Christian leadership in marriage is to lead your wife and your family to Christ and Christ's ways. And I think this is such a wonderful thing. That is why those who cannot lead home should not be a leader at church. That is why. If you can't do that, what makes you think you could do that at church? And I'm saying this with humility, as a, you know, not that I'm such a great husband and wives, but the biblical understanding and the logic is your role as a husband and father is to lead your wife and your children to Christ spiritually, so that she might be sanctified. Okay? So the second role of a Christian husband is to lead his wife and his family to holiness, that she will live for Christ, that your children will know Christ and live for Christ and to Christ. Christian men, are you listening? And I hope you are being awakened right now. Because if you are not alive, your family and marriage already is a dysfunctional marriage. And your wife has no leader to lead her to Christ. And your children will not have leader to lead to Christ. So the role of a husband is a spiritual shepherd, to be a spiritual shepherd. And I call this purifying love. You love your wife so that she'll be purified, sanctified. You lead her to become more like Christ. And that's what Christian marriage is about. So that he might be sanctified. And the word sanctify is hagios, holy, set apart for the purpose of God, to live a life of obedience. And how do you do that? It's right in the scripture. By having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. It is through giving of yourself up your life. You lead her, you guide her, you protect her, you feed her, and you feed your family with the word of God. Okay, with the word of God. Christian husbands, could you show some enthusiasm? Come on, seriously. That's what your calling is. Be a man in your house. Be a man of God in your house. Okay? So that when your life is saturated and when you are in obedience to the word of God and the will of God, you will do that to your wife. And this whole book of Jonah is about that, actually. If you're not obeying the will of God as a Christian, your life is going downward. It'll continue to go downward. And you will be all the way down in the depth of the sea and sleeping. That's what the picture of someone who is not living in obedience. So, through this purifying love, what happens in verse 26? It says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing but that she should be holy and blameless. What are we talking about here? We're talking about when she stand before the Lord. You know, your wife will stand before the Lord. And you know what? Who's going to be responsible? The husbands will be responsible. That's what the scripture is teaching. Because Christ is the one who led the church to that place. And Bible is saying, Christian husbands, your love for her is purifying one so that she'll be able to become a life of holiness and without spot and wrinkle at when she stand before the Lord. That's the goal. That's the direction. That's the trajectory of Christian husband's life. To present her, his wife, at the end, when she stand before the Lord, and when you stand before the Lord. I read a book by, Francis Chan has a book on marriage. He speaks about this. One day, your wife will stand before the Lord. Can you picture that? One day, your wife will stand before the Lord. And Lord will be commending you. Good job, June. Because of your life, she's standing here. Good job, June. That's the picture. One day when I stand before the Lord, when my wife stand before the Lord, my prayer is, Lord, say, good job, Paul. Because of your life, your leadership, your servanthood, she's standing here like this as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's a great picture, isn't it? Okay, that's how we are to love our wives. Third phrase is loving his wife as your own body. We call this caring love. Okay, caring love. Okay, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. How many of you love your body? Would you say amen? If you love your body, would you say amen? You don't? People are obsessed with their bodies. In our culture, I mean, it's like obsession. Counting calories, counting fat like content. People, by nature, and you know, instinctively, we love our bodies. In fact, I want to stress the point that sometimes that love for your body is sinful level, way beyond your spiritual, you know, spiritual health. That's sinful. That's idolatrous. And easily you could fall into the category. So many people spend more time in gym than before the Lord. That's idolatry. That's just not good. Okay? Just think about that heart. What's the motive of that, if you think about it? You spend more time counting calories, losing weights, and building your muscles than your soul. Does that sound right? That's a sinful, idolatrous level of loving of your own body. But God has given this, you know, instinctive, intrinsic nature that you take care of your own body, right? You nourish it, you cherish it. Those are the two things that we see in this verse. And just like you cherish and nourish your own body, husbands, nourish and cherish your own wives. That's what Jesus is teaching. That is equivalent to Christ's care for the church. He constantly, daily, he feeds, he quenches the thirst, nourishes and guides and protects the body in all things, at all times, at any cost, and that's the calling of husbands. Can you look at me, husbands? And say amen. Could you say amen? Seriously, say by faith, say amen. Amen. That's what it means to be a Christian man and husbands. You want to get married for the glory of Christ? That's the calling, that's the directive. In Romans 8:32, that comes to my mind, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all? Will he not graciously give us all things? All things. Christ give all things. Husbands, ready to give all things for your wife. All things. That's Christian marriage. Okay? Christian husbands are to care, nourish, and cherish their wives spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Do you care about your wife's spiritual condition? People who are married? That's your role. Do you care about their spiritual condition? Is she healthy? Does she have a good appetite? Is she like energetic? Do you care about that? You know, constantly, that's been in my radar. Constantly. This week I had conversation with my wife. This week. Constantly. How's your appetite? What are you thinking? Are you doing okay emotionally? Right? Christian husbands are to care, nourish, and cherish their wives spiritually, emotionally, and physically. When she needs strength, you give her strength. Right? When she needs encouragement, you give her encouragement. When she needs support, you give her support. As husbands, as Christ loved the church. That's the teaching. That's the role of husband to the wives. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, husbands, love your wives in the understanding way, in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of God, of the grace of life. Do you treat your wife like that spiritually? That's what it means to be a husband. She is the co-heir of the grace of life with honor, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, I find this verse so interesting. In other words, if you're not living that kind of spiritual life, your prayer will not be answered. You're not walking with the Lord. That's what the scripture is telling you. If you are a Christian man, redeemed by grace, husbands, you'll be concerned about your wife's spiritual condition. Is she walking with the Lord? Does she have a good appetite? Does she seek the Lord? Does she care about things that matters? Does she talk as if she is a healthy person? That's a role of a Christian husband. I pray that God would raise up Christian men in this church. Christian men. Fourth and last phrase of how Christ loved the church is the unbreakable love. And it's in verse 30. We are members of Christ's body. Okay? Christ is the head and body is the church. It's unbreakable, inseparable. Right? This is the unbreakable love, eternal love of Christ. And with that love, we love our wives. Okay? You do not dispute them. You do not discard them. You love them with unbreakable, inseparable love of Christ. Christ and the church that he has redeemed with the blood of Christ is inseparable, unbreakable, dabak, cleaved. That's what Christian marriage is, right? Dabak. Like Christ and I are inseparably united. Just as Father and the Son are inseparably united. And the husband and wife are inseparably united. That's Christian marriage. Are you praying for a Christian marriage in your life? Seriously. That's my question. Right? We're concerned more about things of this world. Rings. Bachelor's party. What's going to happen at the wedding? We're concerned about all these things that really don't matter instead of things like this. I hope the Spirit of God will speak to you people. We are so concerned about weights, muscles, calories, but we don't care about souls. That's sad. That's really sad, people. And you want to improve your marriage. In closing, as I'm thinking about the role of husbands, Christian husbands, if you desire to be a Christian husband, I think it's one directional, just one directional. If you notice what I was preaching today from Ephesians chapter 5, it's one directional. To love as Christ loved the church. To love your wife as Christ loved the church. As Christ loved the church by giving himself up, sacrificial love, and he might sanctify her, purifying love, and nourishing and cherishing her like his own body, caring love. As the body of Christ, the church, that inseparable love, everything is as Christ loved the church. The gospel love. So I think it's very one-directional. The role of a husband is to know him. It's to know his great love. In your life, not in your head. Otherwise, what we are talking about here and your life will be a completely different thing. I think it is one-directional. So my resolve is to know his love in my life, to know him more, to deeply fall in love with Christ. Christian husbands, are you listening? Otherwise, you're not going to love your wife. You're going to abuse your wife. You're going to abandon your wife. You're going to dismiss your wife. You're not going to love her otherwise. That we will be obedient to magnify this Christ love. When you live Christ love, you're going to magnify Christ. And we're going to talk about the purpose of marriage next week. That's the purpose of marriage, to magnify Christ. How do you do that unless you love your wife as Christ loved her? Right, brothers and sisters? So that we will be obedient to magnify Christ. And hopefully your marriage will be a gospel display. People want to believe in Jesus because of your marriage. And I think that's the calling, that's the hope. Okay, let's pray.